Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 24, we were talking about the differences between David's men and Saul's army.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The best thing about David, he was a man after God's own heart. By that statement, Max, we find David is the mark of a mature Christian, the mark of a winner, the mark of a righteous man. I want to review the story in our text and then see the marks of a mature righteous Christian. Saul comes with 3,000 men. David has about 600. The odds are then 5-1 against David. Now, if you go back two chapters, to 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2, it tells us of the ones that are on David's side. David's side has all those in distress, in debt, and discontent. So, we know that David is not parading with a bunch of winners. Saul's 3,000 men, we're told, are chosen men. They're the cream of the crop. They're the all-stars. I like going to the Sword of the Lord conference each year, the last week of July in Walkertown, North Carolina. I'd love that. Great preaching all throughout. And as I learn to sit there and listen, take notes, and just take it all in, I feel like that, just like you see Major League Baseball has its All-Star game, I feel like I'm at the All-Star game and listening to these great men of God that God has blessed and used. And oh, what a blessing it is to me. And I'm so encouraged when I walk away from there, ready to go and see if there's more that we can do for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I say that to say that Saul has the chosen men. He has the cream of the crop. He has the all-stars. Now, let's put that in perspective. On one side is America's dream team for basketball. And I'm not up a whole lot on it. Some of the names I've heard is Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, D. Wade. And so those are just a few of the ones that I've heard and that are supposed to be the top of the game. But on the other side is the basketball team of my Christian school. And I love my boys in our Christian school, and they are good boys. But let's say that those boys are going to play this dream team. Now, I'm also told to pick a team. Now, my heart is with my boys from my Christian school here that we have in our church. And boy, I want to see them win. And so my heart, even though I might say, well, they don't have a chance, but I'm going to get out there and cheer for them. But then they tell me that whatever team I pick, if that team wins the game, I live. If that team loses the game, I die. Guess which team I'm going to pick. Now, I love those boys in our Christian school, but I'm not going to pick them for that game if it's my life and death situation. Well, here are guys that were in bad shape, and they're joined to David. They're joined to David, the dream team belongs to Saul. They come to a cave The dream team, that is. But they don't know that David and his men are in the cave. Now, this cave is at En Gedi. Now, I remember going to En Gedi several times when I've been in Israel. Love that place. Just love. If you're in Israel, visit En Gedi. But I could see how he could be in a cave and King Saul not really realize that David was there. And so there's David hidden in the cave with his men. And Saul goes in to cover his feet. Now, as he goes in there and covers his feet, so to speak, the rest of the army, the rest of the dream team, of course, stays outside to give Saul his privacy. Once inside the cave, Saul removes his robe, and then he proceeds on to the darkest parts of the cave. So while Saul's in the cave, that coat is there, and David cuts off part of it. Now, it's interesting to me that David is in the cave. And here is Saul. David's in the cave, trusting God. Saul is trusting his 3,000 dream team warriors. Yet, even with those warriors just outside the mouth of the cave, Saul's unprotected. The best of the world's security, the best of the world's muscular men and might and military, the most powerful of the world's popularity and money, is not a security from God. My friend, his hand can take you in the midst of the greatest security that a man could know or have. People talk about how much better things were 10 years ago. Have you ever heard that kind of speech? Man, things were a whole lot better 10 years ago. In the hospitals, in health and medicines. You know, that may be so. But, you know, I've been in the ministry for well over 35 years now and been actually preaching a lot longer than that. And so I've been preaching over 40 years and visiting hospitals. And with all the improvements, I've heard for 30 to 40 years now, the same things being said when I go into a hospital. Well, we're better off than we were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's not like it was then. That's what they were saying in the 1960s and 70s as well. But you know what I find when I visit the hospitals, even with all those great improvements? The hospitals are still full. People are still dying. And men still need the mercy of God. And isn't it interesting? 30-some years ago, I'd talk to men and know that they had an interest in some kind of a hobby, a sport, or something like that. All of a sudden, that wasn't important anymore. That wasn't the real issue of life, although it had occupied their life so much. It just wasn't important. You know, as a pastor, I get emails and advertisement, regular mail and other things coming. How to do this in the 21st century? How to raise money in the 21st century? How to witness in the 21st century? How to preach in the 21st century? I just kind of laugh at it. Now, I find that my younger boys and younger staff, they don't laugh about it like I do. I just kind of sit back and enjoy life, I guess, a little bit more than they do. But they kind of think, well, Pastor, we've got to come up to this modern day. But you know what I found is that the gospel that was shared in the first century is the same gospel that saves people today. And without that gospel, people don't get saved today. I still find that through the foolishness of preaching, God saves some today. That was true in the first century. It's still true today. I'm not against technology. We spent an entire radio program telling you about our websites and their operation just to kind of be a help and a blessing to you. But that website is not our main ministry. Teaching and preaching the word. The website is just one of the avenues that we may use. We may use emails. We may use, I guess they use text messages now for a lot of people. Those things are fine. Those things, I'm not against those things. I am against those things taken away from the preaching of God's word. You ever see people go in, I've been asked this question, and so let me answer a question that may come up again sometime on a question and answer period. Someone says, well, Pastor, I know you don't like the screens up in the service and doing the stuff with your while you're preaching. And they're right. They said, but you talked about all those bad versions of the Bible. What if we put the King James Bible up on the screen? I said, no, I wouldn't want that either. Why wouldn't you? I said, well, number one, we have pew Bibles. And then even if we didn't have it, I would expect our people, if they see a visitor, to either scoop beside them and open their Bible and share it with them. And if the visitor gets one of the pew Bibles, to help them find the passage. Secondly, if we do that, you know what's going to happen? Same thing that happens in those contemporary liberal churches. They'll be putting everything on the screen. People quit bringing their Bibles to church. Which leads to a third thing. People don't bring their Bibles to church. They can't check the context to see if what the preacher's saying up there is true. I tell my wife and I tell the IT people here at the school, I say, make sure here in this church or school that you always check my computer. I tell my wife, make sure you check my computer. Now, a lot of people get upset. Well, they check my computer. They don't trust me. I feel like every time they check it, I've just strengthened my testimony for Christ. I think that every time when they do like the people in Berea, they were more noble than those at Thessalonica, that they searched the scripture to see if those things were so. I'm preaching the word. It just strengthens their trust that, oh, yeah, this is right. This is in context. This is what it ought to be. So, again, I would rather the people use that word of God in their laps and be able to be sure that I'm within the context and not changing anything at all. Well, as we go to our text here again, David's companions try to get David to kill Saul. David is there. King Saul has been seeking David for the purpose, the exclusive purpose of killing David. And now the tables are such that they're turned and David could actually kill Saul.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.